Welcome to the Logic Consortium. Today on the show, we have Professor Russell Roberts, a professor of economics at George Mason University and a research fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution. Professor Roberts is going to be talking to us today about his very recent book called The Price of Everything, A Parable of Prosperity and Possibility. Professor Roberts is a free market economist, and he's going to be talking to us about some of the problems that he sees with central planning and government and some of the other themes that run through his book. Professor Roberts, thanks so much for coming on the Logic Consortium. Professor, can you tell us some of the problems that you see with central planning and government?
Sure. The fundamental problem with central planning is works as well as it does, and it disperses not just economic power, but political power.
One of the themes of your book, and one of the things we were just talking about, is how the market system creates a spontaneous order. Can you talk about that? How does spontaneous order come about?
The simple answer is that we're free to buy and sell from whomever. Bad performance gets punished is one of the most obvious and important feedback loops in a capitalist system. And so what happens is that in the case of the pencil story, the business of your a supplier or a buyer, then you'll thrive. And then when there's a change, like the expensive, most effective way to solve the problem that's at hand.
Speaking of rewarding good behavior, just as an aside, it doesn't really seem like we're doing that with all the bailouts of the banks, does it?
No, in fact, what Secretary Paulson, who's in a very unenviable political position, right? He really shot yourself in the foot. So it'd be a big problem.
Hello, you're listening to the Logic Consortium right now in our interview with Professor Russell Roberts, the professor of economics at George Mason University, talking about his book, The Price of Everything. We first talked about the problems that he sees with central planning and government, and then we were just talking about the bailout. The interview was taped November 18th, so it's about a week, 12 days, 15 days dated. If you'd like to copy the interview, please go to logicconsortium.blogspot.com. Here's the rest of the interview. Thanks so much for listening. Well, getting back to the book and economics in general, a lot of times in your podcast, and I know you mentioned in the book, they don't really like the word market because you don't think it describes the phenomenon very well. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, let me talk about that. The in economics, what you and I have been talking about for the last 10 minutes is economists to use it, I guess, and we do because it's the best word we have.
Professor, I've heard you talk about before in your podcast how you do think that there's a role for government, but you'd like to see the role for markets explored more. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I think probably what I was getting at there was something a little different, which was the fact that that are acting responsibly. So that's just an example of how incredible markets work. And I mean, another example would be football betting or sports betting in generally. To see professional economists spend more time on markets, but you know, that's just a thought.
One of the major themes that runs through your book and through your podcast is how the average citizen is much better off than they were 100 years ago. Less disease, people have shampoo for hairs now. But a lot of people might say, well, yeah, that may be the case, but there's still this enormous wealth disparity. You know, the top 20% have around 85% of all the wealth. Do you make the case that we should overlook this wealth disparity?
Well, I think some of the disparity is mismeasured. I mean, I think it's a very... And I think we need a different kind of school system in the United States if we want to make people have a better chance to succeed in our economy.
Kind of dovetailing off your last answer, where you say that if you stay in school and go to college, you're going to live well. I know you also have mentioned that the top 1% of persons in socioeconomic status aren't the same every year, and how LeBron James and the founder of Google, Sergey Brin, have jumped into the top 1%. But does this kind of overlook a lot of the social mobility problems that are in the society about really going to school, and not everybody has this type of opportunity?
Well, I don't want to suggest, well, let me say it differently. Only about 1%.